and what it means to live in community with one another. And we've been reading all about a whole bunch of different one another's that are talked about in the Bible about how we are to live in community together. Things like love one another and forgive one another and accept one another, be devoted to one another. Today, we come across a text that talks about offering hospitality to one another. So as we start off today, I just want to begin with a question and maybe a chance for you to get a picture in your mind of a time when you have felt totally welcome. What did that look like? What did it feel like in that space when you felt completely welcomed? Anyone want to just toss out some thoughts? Where you were, what kind of event it was, what was it that made you feel so welcome? Anyone? Yeah. First day coming here, meeting Dave and Bethany Cool. Yeah. You met Dave and Bethany Cool too on your first day? No, just coming here, right on. That's cool. Someone else? Yeah, Paul. First day you met your neighbors. Right on. Yeah. So being at university, coming home to your mother's Christmas dinner. Yeah, guests, food, the love that's there, yeah. Anyone else? Yeah, the back. Okay. That's awesome. Right on. Thanks, Denise. Wow, you guys are making me feel great about our church family. This is fantastic. Right on. Well, I'll tell you, one time I felt completely welcomed was the first time, which was about just over a year ago, that I walked into, and let's see if we got this on the, did I mess something up, Andrew? Oh, we got it there, right on. Into this place, which is on Keats Island, and this is Barnabas Family Ministries. They have a number of cottages kind of just set right facing out over the ocean. You see Gambier Island just across the way from where you're staying. But it wasn't the view that made me feel totally welcome. This was a place that there was just an incredible sense of love. There was an incredible sense of a covering of prayer that we had been prayed for as a group before we had ever set foot on the island. There was the sense that they said, you know, when we got on there, off the boat, they're like, listen, we don't want you guys to do anything. So in terms of like cleanup after meals, you don't do that. In terms of doing anything to lead sessions, you don't do that. You're all coming as ministry leaders to this place. You are going to let us serve you. There was just an incredible sense of warmth and love from the people there. And it was a space where I felt totally and completely safe and welcome. And I know they put a lot into it to try and make that environment what it is so that we would feel that. Because when we felt that warm sense of safety and welcome, it really set the stage for an incredible time of transformation that God wanted to work out in our lives. Now, hospitality and what we're talking about today really is about trying to create a space for others where they do feel that sense of warmth and safety and doing this for one another. Now, we read about this in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 4. So if you'd like to open up your Bibles to there, you can see what we're going to be reading today. Verses 7 to 11 is where we're going to be camped today. And just before we open up and read that together, let's just take a moment and pray and ask God to speak to us through his word today. So, Father, we do ask that as we read the words of this text today that your disciple Peter wrote so long ago, that the words would be made fresh by your Holy Spirit to us today. That the things that you want to say would just resonate in our hearts. Lord, just give us ears that are open to hear the whispering of your Holy Spirit to us this morning. And Lord, just continue to shape us more into the image of Christ. That we would live well together with one another. So, Father, we give you this time and just pray that your will be done in this space now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 to 11. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Don't you love the starting point of this text? The end of all things is near. It's a great ominous start. Is it? Is the end really near? You know, when Peter wrote these words, I think there was a sense, especially among the early church and the leaders of the early church, that Jesus' return was going to come really, really soon. There was a sense of the imminent return, that it was coming within their generation, within their time. They were going to see the return of Jesus and everything being made right, all of sin being judged, all wickedness being put away, and righteousness was left to reign. That was what they were going to see in their lifetime. They expected it all through the time that Jesus was with them. They expected it when Jesus ascended back into heaven. They kept expecting it in the life of the early church. But is the end near? Now you may say, well, Peter said the end was near. It wasn't, so obviously he was wrong. And what we read and hear is wrong. And here, just a quick backup into sort of Jewish prophetic language and how things are written and talked about. A lot of Jewish prophecy isn't so much about foretelling as it is forthtelling, which means that it's not always just about predicting future events. It's about trying to confront attitudes and behaviors that are going on right now. So a great example of this is in the book of Jonah. And if you know Jonah the prophet, he was the guy with the big whale, got swallowed up and spit back out on the shore because he went the wrong way and God sent him going the other way. Anyways, he gets to Nineveh, the city that God had told him to go to. And the words that God had given him to prophesy to Nineveh, anyone know what they are? That's right. In 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. So Jonah walks through town and he's yelling out this message. He didn't really want to be there, but he's yelling out the message, 40 days and Nineveh's going to be destroyed. 40 days, Nineveh's going to be destroyed. 40 days and Nineveh's going to be destroyed all the way through the city. Guess what? In 40 days, guess what happened? Nothing. Nineveh was not destroyed. Why not? Because when Jonah went and proclaimed this message that in 40 days Nineveh would be destroyed, the people, from the lowest people to the highest rulers in the city, totally repented. And they said, oh my goodness, we have been totally messing up our lives. We have not been following God. We need to repent. And so they stripped off their regular clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, and they repented. They said, God, we are so sorry. And God spared their city. Didn't actually come to pass. And so even when we see other prophets through Jewish history, where we see them saying, this is what's going to happen, and it doesn't happen right away, they also understand that Jewish prophets had a short-term view and a long-term view. Because they don't know how God's going to work out his story in all of history. They don't have the full picture of that. And so even as Peter says, the end is near, it may not come right in that generation, but we need to respect time that the end is imminent. It is coming. Because a lot of times we live as though this world will never end. It's just going to keep on spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning, and Jesus is never actually coming back. That's how we choose to live. But Peter is saying, listen, the end is near. It is coming. So therefore, live in light of that. We've spoken on this verse several times, but back in the Psalms, there was a psalm written by Moses, who was the guy who led Israel out of slavery many years before that. But he wrote a great psalm, and in it he says, teach us to number our days so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days so we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to realize that our days are numbered. I will not live as I currently do forever. There is a time coming when my life on this earth as it is will end. Now, I may not feel that when I'm young. I didn't feel it when I was young. Now that I'm not as young, I still don't necessarily feel like my life's going to end. But there is a time coming when it will. So teach us to number our days, because when we number our days, then we start to live differently with the days that we know we do have left. Did you know, incidentally, that it's 54 days to Christmas? Yes. Anyone all ready for Christmas? Done all your shopping, done all your decorating, everything? You're done? I'm early. No, not quite. Okay. Close. One. Almost done. Anyone else? Not so much. Now, I don't know about you guys. I know probably a number of the guys in here. I'll just speak very stereotypically. A number of the guys here, I'm guessing, are probably December 23rd and 24th shoppers. Would that be fair to say? Yeah, I see a few hands going up about that one. Okay. Because you know, at that moment, you have numbered your days very effectively when you know there are two left until Christmas. And you know your wife is expecting to see something under the tree, preferably not a big box, but a small and probably fairly expensive box. Right? You know exactly how much time you have left, and you will order your days appropriately to make sure you get done what you need to get done, even if it means elbowing some people in the mall and knocking them out of your way. You're going to get it done. Because when we number our days, we start to set our priorities differently than when we think we have all the time in the world. Yeah, right now we're numbering our days a little differently too. Just in terms of our family, because we don't know how many days we have left with Tara's dad. And so we're starting to think differently about how we're going to be spending this next year to make sure that becomes much more of a priority. Because when you know there's an end coming and it is imminent, you change and you prioritize your time differently to do things that you know you should do in that limited amount of time. So Peter says to us, the end of all things is near. So therefore, have a sober mind so that you may pray. And he goes into these number of things, these four exhortations that he goes through about here's what you need to do. You need to pray. And one of the things he says in the midst of this is show hospitality to one another. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. As you know that the end of time is coming, here is something that you should be doing. Offering hospitality to one another without grumbling. Now, hospitality has always been part of the life of the church, not just our church. I'm talking about the historical church. So going way back, when you think about when Jesus was out with his disciples and he was walking around for those 3 years of ministry on earth, and at one point or a couple points, he sends them out to go and cast out demons and do healing and all sorts of different things. But he says, don't take anything with you. Just go and see where people will welcome you into their homes. Hospitality has been a part from then. It's been a part of what we do together when we come to the Lord's table, when we have communion together. You know, Jesus set an example for us when he sat down with his disciples around the table, eating the Passover meal, and he said, listen, this is my body, which is for you. Eat this in remembrance of me, and this is my blood poured out for you. Drink this in remembrance of me. This is what you're going to be doing, and you're going to do it together, offering hospitality to one another. And so when the early church started messing up how they were observing the meal because some were rushing ahead of others and pushing them out of the way and some were getting drunk off the wine and others were having nothing to eat, Paul talked to them and said, listen, this is not the way it's supposed to be. You're supposed to be loving one another around the table and you guys are turning into a party for some and nothing for others. Offer hospitality to one another. This has been a part of how the church is supposed to function right from the beginning. And we have things like communion, which reminds us of that all the way through. This is something we do together. Welcoming one another. Loving one another. So practically, what does that look like? Well, just a couple little practical notes, first of all. Remember, in the one another's, we're talking about how Christians interact with other Christians. Okay, so this is, you know, this has a broader application certainly to people outside the church as well. But right now, specifically, this application is talking about how we live with one another as followers of Jesus. Okay? So if you're not in that place today, you can ignore this if you'd like to, or you can just listen in and see what we have to do with one another and how much work we have to put in. So, but for us believers, there's a whole other level that we're supposed to deal with in terms of how we interact with each other. And this is one of the parts of that. Now, one of the benefits of this, one of the benefits of being a follower of Jesus and living this way, we felt a number of times over the years when we've been traveling in different places in the world. A little over 4 years ago, we were in Ukraine preparing to adopt our third son, and while we were over there, it was a pretty lonely time because you're in a place where you don't understand the language. And there's a bit of English, and we had our Russian and Ukrainian dictionaries there because it's kind of split 50-50 as to who speaks what in Kiev. And so we're wandering around trying to, broken language, trying to do things. And just, you feel very isolated when you don't understand the language, right? When you can't even read the words because the alphabet's different. And so you're struggling with even getting that straight. But I can tell you one of the most wonderful, warm experiences we had there was when we went to an international church in Kiev. We had never met any of these people before in our life, none. And yet, there was a sense of community and warmth and love for us because we all shared our experience and our life with Christ. There was a hospitality offered to us because they were the body of Jesus Christ. And I don't know if you've had that experience when you've traveled and been away from home, but when you walk into another church somewhere else, and maybe you're totally alone in a space, and you don't know anybody there, and yet you can feel the warmth and love of that community for you. It's an amazing thing. This is something we do for one another. So what does that look like today? It was an interesting thing. I was thinking back just recently, just through some conversations, reflecting on how different our lives are now compared to what they were even, let's say, 30 years ago. Let's back up 30 years. For some of you, that puts you at, like, not even born yet, and I realize dating myself now. Wow. But I remember being a kid, and I grew up in church. So we kind of had the thing going where, you had all the interactions between people. But it was a time when there was a lot fewer people working. Like, a lot of the ladies didn't work. They were staying, like, my mom was a stay-at-home mom for many years of my life. And so we had a lot of spaces where we had extra community gatherings around things to do with church. I wasn't involved in nearly as many activities as our kids are these days. So there was a lot more times when we would get together. And so the after Sunday church lunch thing was something that was much more common, right? People within the church would probably put on a pot of soup or something like that, and they would go to church wondering who they were going to invite home today to have lunch, right? Nowadays, we would panic if we thought about someone coming home after church to lunch because we haven't cleaned our house yet, right? And we'd say, hey, would you like to go out for lunch with us? How much more common is that now than would you like to come over to our place for lunch? Now, so I'm not saying that's bad. I'm just saying, how is it that today we do offer hospitality to one another? How is it that even in coffee shops and in restaurants, we can offer the warmth of relationship with one another? Sometimes still in our homes, absolutely. But how is it that we can see this practically worked out today? Sometimes we do this as a larger community. Last weekend, we had the opportunity to do a potluck together, and man, did people bring the food last week? That was fantastic. My goodness, did we eat well. There was like 4 different desserts on my plate. Okay, never mind. It's not important. But it was great, and it was a chance just to be together and to love on each other and to express our blessing for each other by what we brought for each other and just care for our community together. It's one small way we do it. But it can happen even in this place as we get to know each other and just welcome each other into relationship, welcome each other, and make each other feel safe. And honestly, it blesses my heart, and I know it does for everyone else in the church family here too, when we hear stories like that, Ryan, and like that, Denise, and like that, Jason, to hear you say, the first day I walked in here, I felt safe, and I felt welcomed, and I felt loved. That's what you should feel. So practically, offer warm, caring spaces to invite people into, whether it's in your home, whether it's somewhere else, whether it's taking them out for a water ski or taking them out to your cabin, whatever, who cares? It doesn't matter. Just welcome them into your space. Offer hospitality to one another. Now, one of the things that Peter picks up on that's really important in this section is that this is more than just an external action of something we do. Right? Because we could say, just make sure we're going to make this a mandate that everyone does this and everyone, opens their homes once a week to invite someone in and whatever. No. He says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling, because there's a heart issue here as well. Right? There's a heart issue of moving beyond selfishness to a desire to actually serve and love one another, to be a blessing to one another, to offer something to them that helps them grow and experience love, and safety. And really, that is at the heart of the Christian ethic. That is at the heart of who we are as a people. You know, if you think about the world we live in today, and obviously stuff on the news that's going on right now kind of amplifies some of this, but increasingly in our world, we live in a world of isolation, where we kind of draw into ourselves. And we might have our little spaces that we reach out from ourselves in different ways through social media and things like that. But increasingly, you notice it by how places are even being built. Bigger homes, smaller yards. No room to really interact with your neighbors. No front porches, or not as often. No spaces to be out together at the same time talking to one another. Huge TV rooms and entertainment spaces so that we can close ourselves into our house, lock onto the screen, and stay there to use up all of our free hours of the day. We do things to increasingly isolate ourselves. Sometimes it's because of fear and we don't feel safe, so we create ways to isolate ourselves from others so we don't get hurt. But we are to offer hospitality. And we are to be a people who does things differently than that. We're not supposed to hole up and ignore the world going on around us, but rather get out and be engaged in the world. And to do this with one another specifically, so the world will see, when they look at us as the body of Christ, they'll go, why is it different for them? Why is it that those people are always out having a good time and I'm not? That's a little callous, but you get the idea. We want them to see the example of Christ in us by how we love one another, offer hospitality to one another. This is the heart of who we are. And so we're supposed to do this not in a way where we just do it as, you know, some kind of robotic action because we have to, but because there's a heart change going on in us that we actually do love one another more, value one another more, because we are receiving the love that Christ has for us. So as we offer hospitality to one another, along with doing these other exhortations that Paul or Peter mentions here in this text, it's interesting to note what the result of this is. Did you catch that when we read it through? Let's go back up to the slide here. Let me skip back here. So, you know, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling, all these other things. And at the end of it, it says, so that in all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. So the result of doing all these things is that it is actually a means of worshiping God. This brings praise to the name of God. As his people love one another, offer hospitality to one another, care for one another, this is a way of showing how great our God is, because this is what he has done for us. He has welcomed us in. He has drawn us out of places where we were in isolation and loneliness. And he's given us a home and a family and safety and love and grace. We should do it for one another. In doing that, we bring praise to God because we show who he is. So, what is God speaking to you about in this today? As we talk about these different pieces, as we talk about, you know, the idea that the end is near, or as we talk about offering hospitality or that change of heart, what is God talking to you about today? Is it that maybe you need to spend some time numbering your days, considering the fact that the end is near, so that you start to reprioritize what you're doing with your life? Are you living right now like you're going to live forever? Like you've got all the time in the world? Or do you understand that the end is actually near? And it'd be good and wise to prioritize what you're doing with the days that you have. Is God maybe speaking to you today about taking an opportunity to express hospitality? You know, given in the different ways that we could do that today. I mean, one way to think about this is really just use what you have to bless other people, right? Like, so just an example of how someone showed hospitality to us. A few years back, Mitch and Andrea Davey, who are now serving in Edmonton, invited us out to go cross-country skiing with them. And we had never been. But they, because they were so involved out there and had done lessons and all sorts of things, they had all kinds of extra equipment, and they actually outfitted our whole family and took us out to Otway to go cross-country skiing. They had brought a crock pot along, had some lunch in there, and they just welcomed. We weren't in their home, but we were loved and cared for and warmly welcomed into their family out at Otway. What do you have that you could use? Be creative. Have some fun with it. I mean, my goodness, there's all sorts of ways that we can welcome and bless one another. But offer hospitality. Maybe that's what God's talking to you about today. Just use what you've been given in order to express hospitality to one another. Or is God maybe talking to you today about your heart and dealing with what's going on inside of you? Is he talking to you about a need to move from selfishness to generosity? Is he talking to you about a need to actually receive his generous love so that you have something more to give? Does God want to do some surgery on your heart today? Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. You know, this is one of those things that I think moves us from being the organization of a church to the family of Christ. An organization can be cold. It can be functional, it can be practical, it can be purpose-driven, it can go out into the world and do all kinds of good things and have no sense of love for one another. But when we step out and we offer hospitality to one another to invite people who are not just our friends, the ones we've known for years, but are other people that maybe we don't know yet within the body of Christ, we invite them into our space. That changes the dynamic from being an organization to a family. And I know from my years here at this church, and even from when we first were here, which is like 13 years ago, that has always been a part of what this church is. And I think it's true for all of the 50 years of this church. When I hear the stories of the things that happened, it has always been a place that has welcomed people in. And may it continue to be that, so that we would bring praise to God who has welcomed us in. Welcomed us in from the darkness we lived in to live in his family of light. Let me pray for us today, and then we'll take some time to respond through singing some worship. Father, we just give you thanks. We give you thanks, Lord, that before you ever asked of us to express and offer hospitality to one another, you did it first. You reached out. You've reached out at so many points in history to draw people into relationship with you. Lord, thank you for doing that with us. May we be reminded of your incredible love today. May we be reminded that our days here are numbered. Lord, may we be compelled to just show your love to one another through offering hospitality. Through seeing our heart change, Lord, from one that just wants to just cling to what's best for us to be one that just wants to reach out and love and bless all those around us. So, Lord, we just pray that whatever it is that you're wanting to work in us today, that you would do it. And, Lord, through this time of response, we just pray that you would keep speaking to us. Lord, make known to us what your heart is for us today. We thank you so much for meeting us through your word today. In Jesus' name, amen.